Reading from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first three verses. Listen to God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul's life was about to come to an end. He was in prison, in a Roman dungeon, in a Roman prison. This was not a comfortable place. This was not house arrest. This was another time. Nero was the emperor of Rome, and Paul was going to be brought before for trial, or not even a trial, and he was soon to lose his life. He would not be crucified because he was a Roman citizen, and Roman citizens could not be crucified. He died by the sword. As he writes to his disciple Timothy, we have in the second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter, something of the summary of the apostle's life as he is about to face death. He says these three things, three sentences that have been used at any number of funerals or memorial services characteristic of other people. But the Apostle Paul says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There are a couple of very strong images there about the Christian life, about what it means to live the Christian life in faith. One of them is militaristic. And this is part of our history of images of the church. He has said, I have fought the good fight. Even in theological categories, the church that has gone to be with the Lord is known as the church triumphant. They have triumphed. And we who are left on earth are called the church militant. We are still struggling and fighting. It used to be in hymnals you could find hymns like Onward Christian Soldiers, but that one's no longer in our hymnal. Some of this militaristic imagery has been taken out in more modern hymnals. But even last week we sang, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and at the end, and he and God must win the battle. The other imagery is that of a race, and how appropriate for today. What a great, we're running from whatever we were running from. There you go, the fire, there you go. And today is the New York Marathon running. We're here, we're not running the marathon, so there we go, okay. I have run one marathon. I have the cap to prove it. Now, saying that is not untrue, but it leaves you with not the complete story. It was a relay marathon. I did not run the whole marathon. I ran one leg of the marathon. And it seems to me that when Paul talks about running the race, it's not a sprint. He's talking about long distance, going the long distance, and there is no longer distance. Well, I guess that's not true. There are people who do ultra marathons. I don't know if you've heard of this. They run 50-mile races or 100-mile races, but they're extraordinary. I think it's extraordinary to run a full marathon. But running a marathon relay seems to me has some characteristics in it that perhaps we can relate to what it means to be living the Christian life. In any race, and I have run other races, you know, 5K races, 10K races, on a day like today, people, and you can see it on the news this morning if you checked in on what was going on in the marathon, if it's rainy or if it's cold outside, before the race, you've got to stand there for quite a bit of time to gather. And you don't want to run in heavy kinds of clothing, but, you know, if you're an elite runner, you don't have to go to the starting line until right before the race. Or if you do, you're in designer sweatsuits, and you probably have an assistant to pick it up after you or to hand to as you go. But if you're back where most of us are, you're either wearing some old sweats that you can maybe take off and tie around your middle, or what many do, and I have done, Steve Crocco and I used to do this and run together, you take a garbage bag, and you cut a head in the garbage bag, and you cut two holes for your arms, and you put the garbage bag on over you, which keeps you a little bit drier and even a little bit warmer, not so much in the arms, but to get ready for the race. And so when the gun goes off, oh, you should see it. Everybody's ripping off the garbage bags. And if you have old clothes left behind, I mean, Goodwill should come by and pick up the rest of the stuff. Because by the time, you know, when the race starts, there's a lot of people in a race. By the time you get to the starting line, you've had to trample over or around all kinds of clothes and all kinds of garbage bags. Because you don't want to be wearing that during the race. So what the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us is that if we're going to run this race, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, or an alternate reading you can read at the bottom of the pages, or the sin that so easily distracts. It means the sin that constricts us. It means if we're to run the race, we want to not have anything be restricting us or getting in our way of running it effectively. Some of us are still wearing the garbage bags in running the race. There is a wonderful image in the book Pilgrim's Progress, which was one of the most published books ever in the history of publishing, apart from the Bible, John Bunyan's. It's been used all throughout Christendom, all over the world, as illustration. It's about taking a journey. And Christian is the name of the character in the book, begins the journey, and he's carrying a bag, a sack, which represents his sin. And although he started the journey, he's still carrying that burden on his back. Until pretty early on, he comes to the cross. And when Christian sees the cross, the burden falls off of his back, rolls down the hill into a sepulcher, a tomb, and the door of the tomb closes, and it's done and it's gone. The problem is that so many of us are not free in the running of our race. We're hampered. We're hindered. Now, let's get honest here with each other. We're not going to have a show of hands. We're not going to have a show and tell today. But I think I know enough of life and know enough about people to know that many of us are still carrying weights in our lives. It could be some sin that we just can't seem to conquer, or that we has so affected us that the guilt from it we carry. Perhaps it's maybe not sin, but it's just a feeling of guilt from other things. I got to tell you, for a long time, I'm not sure if I'm still rid of it about being divorced. You know, I feel like I have a scarlet letter D on me. I've just felt that is the greatest failure of my life. The failure of marriage. And I know that I'm not totally free of that. I know that I still struggle with the sense that I failed in my life, that I failed my family, I failed my children, and that I'm not complete, that I'm not whole. Now, I know that you have stuff like that in your life. Because we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And a passage we read last week about the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 7, read it sometimes. He's struggling with what he doesn't want to do, he still does. And the good he wants to do, he doesn't do. And who's going to set him free? It's thanks be to God, he says. But the thing is, we can be free. We don't have to carry the burden. And I'm preaching to myself right now, folks, as well as you. Because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The past is finished and gone. It's rolled down the hill. It's in the sepulcher. God, let us leave it there and get on with the race. The other part of the race when I ran my marathon relay was they gave me the glory run. I had the last leg. Not because I was the fastest, because I was the oldest. I think that's why they gave that to me. They were varying lengths. And I'll tell you, there is nothing like it. You know, I've run other races at the end where there have been crowds, but when you're running a marathon and you're running into downtown Pittsburgh, down the Boulevard of the Allies, and you're coming to where you're going to go around the bend, and you're on a street, and then you're going to make it to the Point Park, which is, if you've ever seen pictures of Pittsburgh, where the two rivers come together, there, you know, the Allegheny and Monongahela form the Ohio. That's Point Park, and that's where the finish line is. And I got to tell you, the streets are lined with people. And although the relay starts later, there are still those out there on the road who were running in the marathon that started earlier. And the crowd doesn't know who's running, you know, the relay, who's running the marathon. We're not really carrying a baton. We've got a little chip tied onto our shoe, and that's how it's recorded when we cross the finish line. And I got to tell you, they're yelling. They're yelling for you. They don't know you from Adam, but they're cheering you on. And the closer you get to the finish, and as you come to the finish, they are calling out and telling you to keep going, persevere. The writer of the book of Hebrews introduces this with the word therefore. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and what he's referring to is chapter 11, which is the hall of fame of faith, but I think we can apply it to all of the saints, even those who died within this last year from our congregation, whose names we will remember before the Lord during our communion service today. All of them, all of those saints who are buried out there or over here in Westminster Cemetery or all around, they're the cloud of witnesses, and they are the crowd. The cloud is the crowd of witnesses who have finished, and they're all runners, and they've all finished the race, and they are cheering us on. And we will see them at the finish. And we will rejoice with them, and they will rejoice to see us when our race has been finished. They, the cloud is the crowd. When you run a relay, you often do have something that you pass on, a baton or something. I don't remember how this was so long ago. I don't know if we just high-fived the person at the next leg, or if there was something we carried with us, a coin or something that showed that, you know, that we were running the particular leg. I know it wasn't a baton. At least I'm pretty sure it wasn't. But in most relay races that we see, when, you know, somebody runs their leg, is what it's called, a section of it, and they pass, and while they're running it, they're carrying the baton. And then as you get to the next person, you hand that person the baton, and you're done running. And now it's that person's time to take the baton and run. Brothers and sisters, we have the baton now. This is our time to run the race. It's been passed to us. It's been passed by those who are listed in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's been passed by the reformers of the church, which we celebrated the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther in the beginning of the Reformation. They had the baton in their day. And our parents and our grandparents had the baton in their day, and someday we will pass it on. But we're not ready to pass it on yet. It's still ours. And so it is still our responsibility to be running the race and casting off all hindrances so that we can run it in freedom. And lastly, there is nothing like seeing the finish line that gives you that extra jolt that you need. My problem was always I got so excited and the adrenaline was going so fast, I kind of blew it in the first mile or two, and then, you know, I had to, you know, wheeze my way through to the finish. So when you see that finish line, man, it's an energy, especially with the crowd. Jesus Christ is our finished one. Jesus Christ is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. You know, those three words can encapsulate the Christian life. Any advice anybody can give you about living the Christian life boils down to that. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted. Don't be weighed down. Don't be burdened. Keep looking to Jesus. With the Apostle Paul, someday, when we've turned the baton over, or when we're about to, we too, I trust, will be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.